Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Tell him I'll buy him a lollipop. Not Blair. I'm not talking about Blair. Scary Spice, the intern. You seen Scary?
Just saw him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a look on his face like you're like, that guy's coming to kill me. And he's big enough to do it.
Scary Spice. I didn't know that was his name.
Well, I'd say it's Scary for short.
Yeah.
But yep. Scary Spice, yeah.
I like that.
Got Scary Spice. We've changed one to Shadow. Because he follows everybody around like a shadow. Like he was told, like Rob's like, here, follow him around, see what he does. I mean, literally, he was like step for step.
Yep.
So we decided he's shadow, which he did what he was told.
Yeah, it was great though. And the first day I got home, I'm unlocking the door of my apartment. I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
And then we have the silent assassin. That's not his name, but he doesn't say much. Who we dubbed... Dufresne.
Dufresne, yeah.
Dufresne, yeah. We had initially called the first
kid. What was Dufresne's first name?
Andy?
Andy. Andy Dufresne. Dufresne. He's Andy Dufresne.
Yep.
So apparently did 4 or 5 years in the slammer. So we're like, yeah, we'll call him Dufresne. Batteries from Leavenworth. I can't remember which. One of the two.
Toss up.
Story's better if he was in the can, you know? We thought about giving him like a number, R2485, you know, but we're like, hey, we can't remember that. We're just going to be rambling random numbers. Thought that'd be good. Well, although we thought about Mike Vick's jail number.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's like a columnist or something down in Atlanta that always, whenever he writes about him, he won't say his name. He just puts his
prison garb his number,
prison
right?
Number. So, well, he could use Mike Vick's number. He was in Leavenworth.
Yes, he was.
Wasn't Capone in Leavenworth?
We were in Leavenworth. The day either he was let out or was in, we did a remote there.
Or the day he got there or something. Yeah.
The day he got there or the day he got out.
We did a remote in Leavenworth that day.
I remember that. Because wow. We were driving by it going,
yeah.
Do we see him? Is he there? Where is he?
Can we get him on?
Yeah. Yes. Will he come on? Is he open at 12:30? We got opening at 12:30.
Because that's how we do things.
Mike Vick joins us from cell block C.
See, look at him. See, now he smiles.
Nice smiles.
See, I made him smile. He walked around here for like 3 or 4 days, just like, I finally had to say to him, I'm like, dude, thank you, by the way. Yeah, I said, like dude, I said, what'd you say?
I just felt like you.
Yeah. Fair point. I'll take that. And I finally, like, he's just sitting over there, and I'm looking through the glass, and, you know, usually I'm used to seeing Howdy Doody, right? Rob yep. over there. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, I'm like, for like 2 hours, he's like, you know, I hear like a growl, like when I look at him. Mm. And I'm like, hey, dude, hey, come in here. I'm like, did I do something to you? Dude, like, did I give you the bird on the drive-in this morning? Did I, in traffic, and I didn't realize it was you? I mean, what's going on here? No. Like, well, why do you look like you want to kill me?
I don't like glasses.
So, and he's like around here every day too. He's not like a couple day a week guy. He's in the building in some capacity every day. So I was like, all right, well, we got to bury whatever hatchet is a problem here, because I'm not living under these conditions. It's not happening.
Working hard though, I like that.
He does a great job, as does Blair Kirkhoff, who's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You know, they're at I-35 in Santa Fe. You should know that by now. The number one volume Buick GMC dealer in the metro area. Go see him at I-35 and Santa Fe. And a great time to save some money on some vehicles right now, including thousands off the Yukon Denali. Woo! Denali XL. Ooh.
Yep.
Go get them. Great car.
Yes, please.
At Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. What did you think of Barry Trammell?
I did hear. I listened to most of that. Barry's terrific.
He is, and I read his stuff.
He is.
When it pertains, right? I don't read it every day.
For Thunder stuff, for the Sooners or Cowboys.
Comes up or
Big
whatever.
Big 12, he's good on the Big 12 as well.
When Westbrook gets sideways with him, that was a great conversation.
And wouldn't give the mic back to the moderator.
No, I don't think so. I asked a question and I want an answer. Do we have that? Why do we have that for the intro to him? Well, let's work on that. Go find that now. Do something. You're over there But I don't know what you're playing
that
with.
That was him. That was good. No, no.
I don't think I will. I think I'm going to hold on to the mic. But that homespun well wear. Feinbaum got all wet.
He speaks the language. He speaks the language of his audience.
I want to have him on again because I've thought of it now the last two times in a row. After I get done talking to him, does he watch the show Street Outlaws? Have you ever heard of a show called Street Outlaws?
I think I'm familiar with Street Outlaws.
Have you seen it? Do you watch it?
No, I've heard of it.
So it's these guys who are allegedly street racers in Oklahoma City. But I never realized Oklahoma had a draw. I got a friend, Shane Horsley. Some folks may know. He used to live in KCK. He lives in Nashville now. Good guy. Really good guy. Him, his wife, great people. And I never realized there's a draw. I just thought, oh, that's how Shane talks. Until I watched the show, and I'm like, everybody down there is Shane.
Yeah, there's absolutely an accent.
There's an Oklahoma accent. I didn't realize, because it's not that far away from us here where we speak the right way.
correct, but it is close to Texas and in borders Arkansas. So I've known Barry since I've been in this part of the country, and I have great admiration for him. I don't know of another columnist or somebody who does what he does who kind of speaks to and represents his audience as well as he does.
Okay,
he's just terrific. And
you're calling his audience hayseeds? Is that what you mean?
just good sports fans, Sooners and Cowboys and Thunder and everything else. And I know he's from Oklahoma, grew up in Oklahoma. I think he went to OU and has worked for the Norman paper before he worked in Oklahoma City. So he is of the environment.
Yeah, good. And he's not going to mow during a tornado. Have you seen that? Did you tweet that out, what I was talking about?
I have seen
that. In case anybody missed
it.
That
was funny.
I have seen that. Do we know what state that was?
Supposedly it was in Canada. Was that what you were telling me, Rob? It actually took place in Canada, I guess, up into the southern plains up there.
The prairie provinces.
Yeah, the tornadoes will keep rocking and rolling all the way up to there. And the guy, like, supposedly afterwards, they asked him, like, somebody got a hold of him and talked to him, and he's like, I was keeping my eye on it.
Yeah, I got it.
Well, not when you went that way.
Not with your
when
back
he, when
to
he
it.
When he turned around and went the other strip of grass, your eye was not on it.
Someone said that picture looked like an album cover.
It did.
Yeah. I then tweeted out, it was Green Day. Nothing to fear. And I was like, that looks perfect.
Yeah. Or like a Photoshop. That could also apply.
When I first saw it, I said, this isn't real. But I guess it was.
I guess it was. Yeah. Unbelievable.
How does that look as an album cover? That looks
let's see it again.
It's already an album cover.
I mean,
I'll retweet that out. That's perfect. That's what it is.
This guy's mowing with a tornado behind him. And a nest.
Next question. Yeah. No, I think we won't keep the microphone. I had a question for Steve. I had a question for Steven, and it wasn't answered.
I love that.
That's fantastic.
And pull out the, no, I think I'm going to keep the microphone. Because we can drop that into just about anything.
That's right.
Now, somebody starts to get pissy with me. No, I think I'm going to keep the microphone. You know, there it is.
That's right. Good for Barry.
Yeah, good for Barry. I'm glad to know that you think so highly of him because I really enjoy talking to him. So
well, and there's an importance to this because it plays into the Big 12 that the center of gravity of this conference has moved south. You know, when Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado left, along with A&M, I think this it just shifted that way, and his writings became more influential in just the Big 12 and during realignment. And he was really a go-to guy. You had to read him and what Oklahoma was thinking. And, you know, he wouldn't say this. He broke the Bob Stoops story yesterday. He was the one who broke it. He had it, and that's where it came from. And he often breaks the David Boren stuff. Whenever Boren has goes off on one of his, crazy rants, it's Barry's the one who talks to him and has it first. So he's become kind of a conscience of the Big 12. And he's, if you're a Big 12 fan, he's definitely a must read.
Yeah. And how shocked were you?
Oh, I was totally shocked. I had forgotten how young Bob Stoops was until I saw it in the story.
58?
56.
56. Okay.
So he got the job at 38 and 18 years there and is out at 56. I'll say this. I do agree with Barry that I think June is actually – early June's not a bad time.
Well, if you got your in-house replacement.
Well, that plays into it, that that if you've got a situation that's not going to require a prolonged search or some controversy, you know, I think that you go through spring practice, you get your summer workouts all set up, and you know you've got a good team. You hand it over to the assistant who Joe Castiglione, I'm sure, have identified as the probable successor, and it's up and running. This was the easiest, smoothest transition I can remember for a college football coaching change.
While we're still on the topic of coaching changes, Greg McDermott has just tweeted this out.
It's official.
I'm blessed and honored to be the coach at Creighton, and I'm looking forward to many more great years.
Oh, okay, good.
Interesting.
He has turned down Ohio State.
We're going to get to that because reports are out there that he'd accepted the job. So Fred Hoiberg's name is going to hot on that one. We'll take a break, come back. More about Bob Stoops, Thad Motta leaving Ohio State, Fred Hoiberg as he headed there. A lot of stuff to get to here today with Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star College columnist. He's brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC.
All right, the Westport Flea Markets, end of the hour answer. Who was the last head coach to win a bowl game in his first season at Oklahoma?
I think I know this.
Gibbs.
Mm-mm.
No, I don't know then.
It would be Chuck Fairbanks in 1967.
Well, why is that fun? What's fun about that?
It wasn't Switzer. It wasn't Gibbs. It wasn't Stoops. Stoops got to one and lost. John Blake and Howard Schnellenberger did not. Gary Gibbs was ineligible his first year in 89, as was Barry Switzer in 73. So you have to go back to 67. Chuck Fairbanks.
That question blows.
No way.
Gibbs is a coach for the Chiefs now, so he's gonna go with him.
50 years. It's been five coaches.
I guess.
Six coaches.
I'll give you that. Okay. It doesn't blow.
It wasn't Switzer. It wasn't.
But it's not Stoops. My favorite.
How about there's the three great OU coaches, Wilkinson, Switzer, and Stoops, all won national championships. Wilkinson and Switzer both had pretty active post-OU coaching lives. Mm-hmm. Wilkinson ran for Senate and lost and was on the President's Council. Remember that, the Fitness Council, Kennedy's Fitness Council? Ended up in TV
coached the Cardinals
for a while. And Switzer won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
And Chuck Fairbanks, who didn't win a national title but kind of helped set things up, coached in two playoff games with the Patriots. Didn't win either one of them.
You just wonder about the post, OU coaching career of Stoops. If there's,
I do kind of get the vibe. If you shot down enough, Lebo, I guess, thinks he's going to go to Notre Dame in a couple of years.
That was a rumor yesterday. Kind of a speculation among people. Would Notre Dame will fire Kelly at some point? Stoops has been approached by Notre Dame.
Why would he? Why would he?
I don't know if he would. I don't know if that's. I think Oklahoma's a better job, and does he need a couple years to just catch a breath, recalibrate?
I'm not saying everybody's wired the same because they're not, but you get older. I mean, you think about yourself, and when you're young, you job jumping, doing all this and that. But once you put down roots, and you're like, hey, there might be a place where you could get a buck or two more. I do think some coaches are like, look, I want the ultimate challenge. The ultimate challenge is winning at Notre Dame. Because they have the highest expectations, but with a lot of shackles that you don't have at Alabama. Like Nick Saban, the only way he can be thought of as more of a great head coach would be to go do what he's doing now at Notre Dame. Because it's harder. Because there are kids he couldn't get in there.
Correct.
Or go do it at Stanford, I guess, or Northwestern or something. I guess then that would really increase his lore. But Notre Dame's harder. But I don't see that. I
don't either. I don't. It'll be It really will be interesting when Kelly does get fired at some point. A lot of people are ready. In fact, I've heard Tim Grunhardt on your show talk about
Tim, I believe, is ready.
Ready.
Yes.
You're ready for the change.
Well, he talked to Kelly about getting his name fixed on the All-American list, and Kelly said, whatever, Tony, get lost.
Right.
That's not true, but it sounds good.
It could be.
Yeah.
I read this yesterday. There was a Chicago Tribune story. I don't know how recent it was, but the Stoops has purchased a house in Chicago.
That's probably where it is.
They call it the Gold Coast.
On the water or something. Mm-hmm. Or okay.
Yeah. So,
well.
So there's that.
Oh, but still, it's not like you're going to drive home to Chicago.
No. But you certainly are much closer to it.
I guess that does fuel some speculation there. What the hell? Is he always wanted to live in Chicago? Where does that come from?
Didn't he say yesterday, I think he said in his press conference, he has no intentions of leaving, you know, his home in Oklahoma, but maybe just a place in Chicago.
I just like Chicago, that's all.
I don't know where that is. I mean, like,
I like the food.
Well, I went to Lake Michigan last summer for a big family vacation, and we were really impressed with, like, the setup. I was like, oh, wow, the water's great. And I was like, okay. We were actually in Michigan City, Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little bit to the around towards the east side and heading up away from Chicago. We could see Chicago across the lake where we were, so we weren't too far from it. But so I get it. Is it some beach house? Is that what it is?
No.
I think he likes the zoo. get a nice zoo, lots of sausage, you know, bears.
The deep dish pizza and stuff?
Let's check it up. I'll let you look. What do you need there? Bob Stoops, Chicago?
Chicago.
Let me type in there. Hang on, Dad Jerky.
All of a sudden,
Bob Stoops, I'm not
Brooklyn.
Sure how he became Brooklyn there.
Well, you look that up, and we'll find out. What do they? What do you? You got his address there, and we can
Bob Stoops,
a 360 view.
Yeah, 20 hours. Bob bought a $2.2 million Chicago home a month ago. Pulling up the story.
Got some shots, some views. What do we got?
Didn't show it.
You got to remodel the toilet there.
The Gold Coast area of Chicago, 5,500 square foot mansion.
Is 5,500
actually next door to the one
mansion?
They already own.
Maybe in Chicago.
Yeah, that real estate price.
It's next door to the one they already owned.
He already owned one?
That house was purchased in 06 for $2.2 million.
And he bought this one for how much?
2.5. Well, 2.25.
Well, now that he has 10,000 square feet.
extra $50,000.
Well, what is that?
I don't know.
Literally, like, he bought out the Joneses. Like, get out of here.
5.5 baths, an elevator, a sunroom, a fourth floor media room, a south facing
wall. Do you need an
elevator
at 5,500 square feet? Now, that to me says heart problem.
Yeah.
If you got to have an elevator. Right. I mean, I'm not saying 5,500 square feet small. It's not.
It might be a high rise. When you Google Gold Coast, Chicago, it's a lot of high rises on a beach.
So is it not really a house? It's more of a condo.
Right. I think, yes. Okay. And I think there might be several stories to it.
Okay. Well, good for him, man. I'm not a hater. Our Oklahoma source, Curtis, has weighed in. Bob Stoops and his wife actually own two houses. He couldn't get it in quick enough. Actually own two houses on Chicago's Gold Coast. Sounds more like investments to me.
Okay.
He called Chicago his wife's favorite city.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you have it. We just saw a secession of power at OU, peacefully done. Lincoln Riley, is that coming next at Manhattan? You were obviously there. You were the guy that had the recording of Bill Snyder. There were others there.
There were TVs. I was...
No, they don't count. They don't count.
they do count.
No.
But
do I know the cameraman?
Yeah, you knew. You would have known
who,
a couple.
Which
of
one?
Say JW was there.
Oh, he counts.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely
real. Is Proctor there?
No.
Of course not. Because he's
no
lazy.
Problem.
Lazy.
He was following you around. That's what
right.
He does now.
To me, like, every time I do a show on the road, he's there.
Let's call him Shadow.
Yeah, we should. But do you know, look, obviously that was handled very swiftly, Gene Taylor. We spoke to Gene Taylor the next day, which was, you know, great guest getting by Rob or set up a week in advance, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, let's
one
go,
or the other.
Let's go with the
we'll leave it fuzzy.
Rob.
We'll leave it fuzzy there. And just good timing for Rob. But anyway, I got a sense that he's a lot more in control than people wanted to believe. And certainly the report from Dennis Dodd, which was not Dennis's report, it was the quotes of Phil Bennett. Let's say the statement of Phil Bennett, because I don't want to try to hang it around Dennis's neck, the statement of Phil Bennett made it sound. It made it sound like, oh, Bob Stoops got another puppet.
Right.
And now he's going to get Sean in there. And, boy, I didn't hear that when I talked to Gene Taylor.
No, I didn't either. I think you hit on the right word that he seems to be in control of that situation. Just if you just draw the timeline as to what happened, you know, Bill Snyder holds court at the Catbackers, the Kansas City Catbackers, on Thursday evening. lets it slip that someone, a player, failed drug test. Whether it was Sutton he was speaking about specifically or not, I to this moment it remains unclear to me. But no matter who it was, you shouldn't do that. And when Gene Taylor heard about it, he was in Dallas when he said this. He was in Dallas at the Big 12 meetings. He was coming to Kansas City that night to be in town the following day to do things like make appearances and speak to groups. So from the time Gene Taylor landed in Kansas City on Thursday night, no more than a few hours after Bill had this unfortunate slip, Gene Taylor took control of that situation. And by noon the next day, was it noon or so that the release was out?
Maybe it was
1 o'clock. I thought it was late in the 1 o'clock hour.
Did you guys have it in your show?
Yeah, we did. Okay, it happened.
So less than
we took full credit for it, is what we did.
As well you should. Less than 24 hours after the Snyder had the slip, the release is out that he was apologizing, that Sutton was getting his release, and that was pretty swift action. And I was having a discussion with some folks about this earlier this week. When you think about stuff that happened at KU during the basketball season, when it happened, how it dragged on, how how open ended things always seem to be, Kansas State handled this situation quickly, swiftly, decisively, and it was end of story.
Well,
look, totally different.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, because there was no legal. KU was kind of at the whim of the legal process.
Yeah, but couldn't not to we've talked about it a lot, but couldn't Jackson have been suspended for a game and changed the dynamic of the situation?
I think he did ultimately get suspended for a game.
He did.
For what seemed to be more what I would call an accumulation of violations.
We thought so too.
Is what it seemed to be. And Bill Self said as much. He said, look, if this is the first time I'm hearing something, no, he's not suspended. But it's not. We all know that. And so something to that, I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically what he said. Now, as I recall, there was kind of this, and I'd have to go back at it. I go back and I don't even know where else. It kind of kept just being a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And, well, it could have been handled better? I suppose, maybe.
I didn't need to use that example to suggest I was impressed with the way.
No, but your point was K-State did a great job in handling this situation.
That's right. I thought they did. I thought Kansas State and Gene Taylor.
The situation, including not saying that Bill Snyder did, Bill Snyder being a part of the situation. The rest of the university did a great job handling it.
Yes, and from an athletic director who's brand new on the job, who's somebody we didn't know much about, we knew where he was and what he did, but who in our market knew who follows North Dakota State,
right.
and the number two guy at Iowa for a couple of years. We didn't know much about him, and for him to come in and handle a situation like that without letting it drag on or continue, I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And so do you think we're coming up towards a similar press conference with Bill Snyder? You got any indication that?
No, I don't, because I don't have an indication that he's close to, having a surprise announcement. And I say that because when he was speaking at the Catbackers on Thursday night, he went on for a good 45 minutes. He seemed to have a lot of energy and he sounded good. And was so well received, like he often is when he goes and speaks, that he didn't strike me as a guy who was struggling to communicate. I think he'd been to KU Med earlier in the day to have some kind of follow up. I don't know if it was a treatment or just some kind of visit there. He just didn't strike me as a person who you could just tell physically. I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to coach. So no, I don't expect there to be some kind of surprise announcement, and so that means I guess there'll be one, right? I have no expectation of it.
Well, but I do feel like it's not just going to be up to Bill Snyder to pick who it's going to be. I mean, I do get a distinct sense that we're going to see.
But I also
Gene Taylor is going to make the call. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I think Bill Snyder will get. I think Gene Taylor struck me as a complete straight shooter because right. I mean, there are things that, you know, were he employed by an NFL team, he would have hidden behind obvious answers that are already out there, and he didn't. I always appreciate those that can actually, you know, take adult questions and
yeah.
and give adult answers. Which the NFL as a whole cannot, but he seems like it doesn't strike me as a guy who is BSing it.
No. And whether if you're a Kansas State fan, you think Sean Snyder should be the next coach. I think there was an impression before when John Curry was the athletic director that just wasn't going to happen. You know, it wasn't going to happen. Whether you think it should or shouldn't happen. I just, based on, you know, just the month or month and a half he's been on the job, that you think that it'll be done right. It'll be a fair process and with everything considered. So I know it's only like I said, a month to 6 weeks on the job for Gene Taylor, but anyway, it's been a strong early impression.
Yeah, it has, no doubt. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit about Lincoln Riley, what to expect there, and then Thad Matta out at Ohio State. What does this mean? We're seeing some of the ripples on that one throughout the college basketball landscape. Doug McDermott says it's not going to be him. Fred Hoiberg says it's not going to be him. I'm not buying that. Who is it going to be? We'll talk about that next here in the program. Nothing worse than messing up your best t-shirt. You know what I'm saying there,
yep.
Blair?
I hear you.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35, and Santa Fe. Just had a friend reach out to me, by the way, talking about that he'd been through the same treatments as Bill Snyder. Said harshest cancer treatment they give any cancer patients.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
No. Mm-mm.
Said he's surprised how well he's doing. Said, you know, the treatments, he's basically said the treatments almost killed me.
Gosh.
So the guy's a machine.
To have seen him, I ducked my head in a couple times during his speech or the presentation he was given on last Thursday night and thought, wow, he is still going. He looks good. He sounds good. So, I think as long as he can, I think he wants to coach. I just do. I think he wants to. He loves it. He, you know, it gives him purpose. He hated not coaching when that happened to him in, you know, 10 years ago. So I think he'll coach until he can't coach.
I don't want to lose time to talk about Ohio State because I think it's important because of what it does for college basketball overall. Thad Matta, the timing, they don't have a succession plan in place. There's not a Lincoln Riley there.
No, that's right.
That a trusted columnist has been writing, this is the next guy in line. What the hell went on there?
You know, I'm not really up to speed on that. I was surprised by the timing, and I've read a lot of the tribute columns written about Thad Matta. Look, two-time Final Four guy, and just won Big Ten championships. But Gene Smith, I know the AD there a little bit. He's about being the best, and being the best in Ohio State is one of those schools that wants to win national championships in every single sport.
Yeah, and they've got the budget to do it. And I get that, and I know he ran off. He had a bad year, let's call it 16, ran off that recruiting class because they were not good kids. And then, you know, to me, if you didn't can him then, what did you think was going to happen? You knew your team got even younger, and you're trying to go at it. So, I mean, there was clearly, I think it had to be at least a little bit of a personality conflict, or just no, we have zero patience.
Maybe.
And so now they're going around. This is when there's a problem. This is not a good time to be looking for a coach.
Right, right.
Because now you just got turned down by Doug McDermott, which I was like, wow. I mean, I hope, you know, if they're offering him, you know, 5 years, $12.5 million, and $12.5 million is all he needs to get to the finish line, okay, take it. You know? But otherwise, you know, if you're 1-5 at Creighton, you can be 1-5 at Creighton kind of just for as long as you want to be.
Dana Altman was that for quite a while.
Yeah.
They were the equivalent at that time.
I mean, if you're only guaranteed the contract, you're going to be paid at Ohio State for how long you're at Ohio State. You may get 3 years into that thing, which is probably, you know, somewhat backloaded. And okay, you're 3 years, $6 million in and fired. And the Creighton job, which I think is a hell of a job, kind of a sleeping job, which I think McDermott is proving it was more than just his kid. Then why would you take that? And so now he says, no, I'm sure he got a raise. You use it as leverage, get your raise. Got it. That's what coaches do. I understand that. But, you know, the thing of it is, if I'm Ohio State, I'm like, wait a minute, you're calling the guy Iowa State ran off?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, I mean, he didn't get fired. He left for Creighton, right?
Yeah, he kind of got out ahead of the, you know.
But it was coming. How were you going to sell that press conference?
Right, right. Well, how about the two names that we've seen are both former Iowa State guys. So if that's if that's their circle
cradle
of candidates.
Coaching.
Yeah.
Cradle of coaching.
Wonder, you know, I wonder if, trying to go back, Wayne Morgan would be a candidate. Tim Floyd, perhaps.
Yeah. I just don't get it. And so it has to be Fred Hoiberg, doesn't it?
Who, that was the first name that I saw associated, almost as soon as the Thad Matta news was out, the first name I saw was Fred Hoiberg. And so that was out there before I even saw Greg McDermott's name. So I was like, yeah, I guess that would make some sense going from the Bulls to Ohio State.
And that's the second name I thought of. I'll get to my first one in a second.
Well, then was it Hoiberg himself who put the tweet out that Hoiberg did that?
Yeah, said I'm not going.
I'm not going anywhere. Happy where I am, and then I started hearing the McDermott.
Which, by the way, is a mistake. You should have been like, yeah, I want to hear what they got to say,
or just not tweet anything. So two guys who I thought would be really interested in the job are not taking the Ohio State job.
To me, the number one choice is Billy Donovan. I mean, he doesn't have Durant and Westbrook. He's just got Westbrook. Westbrook is a handful. I mean, you are what you are. I mean, and number one, I don't think you're going to get anyone to come. You know, Westbrook dominates the ball too much. Look, everyone can get mad about Kevin Durant going to Golden State. They share the ball there. And he has to share it more there than he did with just Westbrook. But Westbrook pounded the ball into the deck even when he had Kevin Durant. You can make a case that Russell – you can make a case – I'm not saying it's a fact. But you can make a case Russell Westbrook is what kept the two of them from winning a title because he took too damn many shots. You're not going to attract any other free agents there. So you're never going to be more than what you are right now. If I'm Billy Donovan –
well, how about the team with Harden as well? I mean, that's – how about the Harden-Westbrook-Durant team not winning a championship? But – Xavier's coach, Chris Mack, is the one that some people.
He's a Xavier guy, though. With the expectations they've got, if I were him, okay, I'm listening, get my raise at Xavier and stay.
Yeah.
Like, if everybody out there, that's what I'd do.
It's funny how we started talking about, at least I thought, great scenario at Oklahoma for them to make the change when they did, especially, but to make it in June, it's good if you've got it all lined up.
Yeah.
This one's not lined up.
No, and I'll tell you what, winning at Ohio State is not – you're at a football school. Right, Ohio State can call Bill Self. He might take the call. He's not taking the job.
No.
And who is? What great basketball name are you going to get? I mean, you had a guy who really did great, and you fired him. And another guy who did pretty good, and he was found to have been cheating.
Somebody said Shaka Smart might be interested. He's from Ohio, went to Kenyon, okay. I think, but just signed a great recruiting class. I don't see him leaving Texas for Ohio State.
I like the expectations of Texas way more. The money's there, the talent's there, and the expectations aren't there like they are at Ohio State. Oof. Great stuff, Blair. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.